Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. And I am going to try to dial my guest for tonight, and hopefully everything is going to work out all right. Just bear with me while I dial it. My guest tonight is Braden Demorse Purdy, and hopefully everything is going to work. So like I said, bear with me. Hopefully it should be dialing soon. Hopefully he will be answering soon.
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me, Braden?
Yes, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So since we can both hear each other, that means we're on the air. Woohoo!
Nice. Great.
Yeah,
how are you?
Oh,
good,
yeah,
thanks.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just hot, as you, I'm sure you know.
Yeah, it's been hot here recently, too, so it's a cooler day today, though, so that's nice and refreshing.
Yeah, the rain here didn't help cool it off much, so.
Mm.
Well, I guess we can just jump right into it, as long as that's okay
sure,
with you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm all good.
Okay, good. All right, now I know that you started making films with your friend like at a really young age, and then that led to you starting your own production company. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So, yeah, I was pretty young, around the age of 12 or 13, and I was in my final year of middle school, so I was like grade 8, I believe, or even, no, grade 7, actually. And usually what the schools were doing were rotary, so they would, like, make us go to different classes throughout the day, different classrooms, just to get us prepared for the high school routine. But for some whatever reason, here or there, they just canceled that for the year that we started. We were supposed to start doing that. So instead, they set up these elective courses that you could take once a week to kind of just have that without having it. And so one of them that really caught my eye was movie making course. So I picked that and was luckily one of the students that got into it. And right from there, was within a week I was in that class and I wrote my first script called The Nerdy Kid. And from my knowledge and understanding now, the whole assignment was just to write the script and that was the whole class. But because the teacher at the time saw the passion and the excitement that I had to write the script, he took it upon himself to help us make these films. So we actually went out and shot it and had like a camcorder and really, well, back then it was like a DV cam, I think, and with DV tapes. And I shot my first movie and it took us the whole school year to do it, but weekends here and there kind of thing. And once that happened, I was hooked. So, yeah, and then my production company now is the Nerdy Kid Productions. I based it off the title of the first movie I ever did. And through high school, I was running around town with my friends making short films. And yeah, eventually did an internship at a local television studio and was directing and producing like live breakfast television there. And then I moved to British Columbia, Canada, where I went to study Vancouver Film School, the film production program, and yeah, here I am today. So,
wow, that's a really interesting story and starting so young, and
yeah.
I love the name of your production company.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it too. Yeah.
Now, when you went to that the local TV studio, and you were like 15. And you were the youngest student ever to receive a full-day cooperative internship there.
Yes,
isn't that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I sat down, I think, I was 15 when I sat down for the job interview and I got all dressed up for that. And I was really super nervous. I remember being really, really nervous because it was my first kind of step towards more of a professional atmosphere than just running around town with my own camera and my friends and doing whatever we wanted kind of thing. It was more a step in the professional direction and was kind of like a more level up experience and a great opportunity. So I remember sitting in that room being very, very nervous, and they told me, oh, it's going to be like a month until you find out. And then the next day they just called me and said, you were great, so we'll take you on, kind of thing. And I was beyond grateful for that, because that just projected so much for me that I have right now. So without that, I don't think I would have had as much accomplishments as I do now. So.
Yeah, and you were just 17 when they asked you to start developing, creating, and directing on multiple platforms.
Yeah, so that was, it was a great learning opportunity, and I started off on my first day. I was setting up, like, an audio technician on location, so I was, like, setting up all the microphones, and not by myself, but someone was helping me, and I was assisting them, and then my second, I was there for 2 years, almost full time, and by my second year, I was directing the breakfast television talk show in the morning, and then we would do taped segments in the afternoon, so I was directing both those, and then eventually I even got to produce, which in that atmosphere was, when you're a producer, you get to actually decide what content it is. So when I was directing, I would really be able to pick what the guests were coming on, or who was coming on, or how, what the theme would be, but I got to pick the shots and do, like, live television, switching the cameras and stuff. But when you become a producer, you get to kind of pick the guests and pick the tone and the theme. And so it was a lot of freedom that gave me, and a lot of creative control, and just a lot of learning opportunities came from that. So it was a really good opportunity.
It also had to be a really big rush at 17 to have that.
Yeah, it was really weird. Cause there's like the station that I particularly was working at, they have a great volunteer program. So even if you're not doing like a full-time internship with them, you can be a volunteer and pick the shows you want to do. And they really strive on the volunteer thing, program for their success. And so when you're one of the leader positions as a director or producer, you're in charge of the crew. And a lot of the times it was crews who were in the 30s or 40s or even 70s or 80s coming in, and I was the 17-year-old who kind of had to lead the ship on that. And at first I felt it was a very weird dynamic that I'm the younger one telling my superior age group to do, and it took me a bit to get used to that for sure.
I'm sure it would.
Yeah.
Now, at 18... you applied to the Vancouver Film School, and you became one of the youngest students ever accepted, and then you graduated with honors.
Yes,
so tell us what that was like.
Yeah, so, again, through this television studio, someone who came in, he was actually an animator for at the time he was doing Warner Brothers Animation, I think, and he was doing storyboards for Avengers and some of the Marvel films, and so him and I connected. And we had to chat a lot, and he is kind of the one who pushed me to go to Vancouver Film School and said that this is the place you need to go to. And so I did, and while I was there, I was, again, one of the younger ones in my class. I found that, like, some classes have a very similar age group, and they all kind of stay the same right out of high school. But for me, well, my experience was my class was much older than I was, and there was maybe two of us or three of us who were around my age, and then the rest were a big age gap of, like, I was 18 at the time, and then there was like 30-year-olds, 50-year-olds, and a lot of adults who've already kind of lived their life and then decided to go back to school. So that was also a weird dynamic for me, kind of living on my own for the first time, and living across the country for the first time, and then being surrounded by people who have already lived their life and had kids and just develop themselves as an adult. And so it was good for me, I think, because it made me kind of grow up faster and kind of met mature people who worked hard, and it was great. So, and my class was great. And the school itself is great too, because it's not going to hold your hand and be like, oh, you paid to come here so you can do everything. Like, they treat it like a very real film world scenario where you have to pitch yourself, you have to pitch your projects, you have to win to get what you want out of the school. So And I was fortunate enough to direct every single term, and directing is what I wanted to do going into the school, and wanted to leave with a great deal of work to put on my resume from that school and experience. So I was lucky to, I worked really hard. I was playing all-nighters, but I'm also lucky to be able to direct every single term at that school. And it was a great experience. I learned a lot and met a lot of great people who I still work with to this day. And yeah, it was a great experience.
Oh, cool. That sounds like a really, really nice experience, especially being so young like that.
Yeah, it was really, it was great. It's nice to be able to go across the whole country and live on your own for the first time and experience a new way of life and do something that you love to do every day. So.
Now, were your parents supportive of you taking this track?
Yeah, my parents have always been super supportive of my creativity, whether it was music or filmmaking or photography or whatever really kind of career path I wanted to follow. My parents were always really supportive of that. And I remember when I first kind of mentioned moving to Vancouver for school, and my mom was a little hesitant at first, not because of the career path that I was choosing, but I think just the distance and having me live across the country. But and it's an expensive school, it's pricey, so I think that was also something that worried her, that I'd have to like take student loans out and stuff. But once I did the whole application and got accepted, she was more on board. And and then I, a few months in of living in Vancouver, I called her and just said, I think I'm going to stay after I graduate. And she kind of knew that was going to happen, and she's always been really supportive of me just following and chasing my dreams and passions. So
Oh, that's always nice when the parents, maybe not like help them, but at least say, hey, you know, whatever you want to do is fine with us. That's always nice when parents are like
great.
That.
Yeah, and I grew up with some friends whose parents weren't like that, and so it made me appreciate that even more, because I saw the damage it did to my friends, like their mentality of what they wanted to do. Like, they were like, okay, maybe I won't do it. Which is unfortunate, but it made me appreciate my mom's acceptance more.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, when you were still pretty young, you directed your a short called Transition. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that was during my film school days, and that was like my very first really, I'd say, professional short film that I did as a director. So I did a lot of short films prior, but it was very much so no budget, zero guerrilla filmmaking. And this one was like a set build. Like, we built a set. We had like a whole crew and cast and a dolly and all the things that you don't usually have when you're just guerrilla filmmaking. So that was kind of my first attempt at more of a professional directing environment. And it was just a day shoot. And I always kind of hold that one close because it was the first kind of bigger one for me. So it was interesting. And it was an interesting script that kind of I put my own spin on, because I didn't really connect with the original draft. So it was also an opportunity for me to kind of make it more of something that I could vibe with and felt I could tell more as my personal references and stuff. So I had the opportunity to do that, which was also cool. And I didn't actually write the script. So up until that point too, I was also very much used to what I was directing and just kind of doing both things. And this was my first attempt as well at directing something that I didn't write originally, and kind of had someone else's voice that I was also telling. So that's the story on that one.
Well, what about just a brief synopsis of what it was about?
Right, okay. So it is about, it's a long time ago, but I'm going to do my best. It was a couple who went to this cabin for their honeymoon, and during their honeymoon, an accident happens where they kind of find themselves in a purgatory situation, and they have to kind of figure out this purgatory world as a newly married couple and see which direction they want to go, whether they want to follow the light at the end of the tunnel or live in the past.
Oh, wow. Sounds real interesting.
Yeah, it's it reminded me of a Beetlejuice situation when I first read it.
In 2015, you directed an episode of a TV series called Disharmony. And I guess you did one episode. And what was that like directing for TV? Because, you know, even if it's public TV, I don't know if it was, I'm just saying, even if it's public TV, it's still TV.
Yes. Yeah, episodic, that was my first episodic. That was super interesting as well. Kind of one of the first people I met in Vancouver. Him and I were kind of in the writing room for that. And then as we were in the writing room, we were creating the show and the concept and going back and forth. And I can't remember the whole duration of time we did that, but it feels like it was a long time. I want to say like 4 months. We were in there almost every day. And we were writing with a group of, I think there was 12 of us, and we were going back and forth. And then eventually we went to a picture. And so I remember wanting the pilot, the first episode, because it had like this more gritty criminal vibe to it, which is more my vibe for sure. And it was kind of the introduction too. So I think I was a little, like, I think I was nervous to continue something that someone else directed because it was my first episodic. So I felt like if I did the pilot, it would be an easier ease into it for me because I would be able to establish this look and tone and theme within the show and style. But if someone else did the pilot, then I would have to bring my own style to it, but then also kind of carry the consistency from the first one. So I remember really thinking that, and then it ended up being where I was directing the second episode. So I was like, oh my God. And I was very nervous. I remember sitting down with the director of the first one and really just having meetings with him all the time, being like, going over his concepts, going over his storyboards, going over his look and tone and theme. And we had two different cinematographers too, which doesn't usually happen in episodics. So we had that too. So that was also a different obstacle, I guess you'd say. And so, yeah, picture came. It was awesome. We were out on location and we had barriers up, and I remember like crowds coming and watching us film across the barriers, and that was just a really cool experience for me as a filmmaker going from a small town in Ontario to with my camera in my hand to being shooting in the middle of a city street with barriers and blocking off traffic. And it was just a really cool experience to kind of control this whole alleyway and atmosphere, and collaborating with a lot of people, because when you're doing a feature, you're doing a short film or a music video, it's just once and it's just one thing. And with an episodic, there's so many people and so many different creatives involved for different episodes. So collaborating as a whole was just a really cool experience. And I have a lot of fond memories of that one.
Oh, good. Glad you have fond memories. That's always nice.
Yeah, that's always good. If you can walk away happy, then it's always the best. So,
yeah, the same year you directed a short called Press Play. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Press Play was my final, or yeah, I guess you'd call it your final of film school. It was like the big one at film school where you have to, it's your graduating film basically. And in my class, there was so many people wanted to do it and be the director and write and go out with their own film. And so, yeah, I was fortunate enough to have a group of friends in film school who, one was a writer, one was a production designer, one was an editor, and one was a cinematographer. And we all kind of grouped together and said, let's pitch our film together. And because within the class, if you pitch groups form for each film, and then you pitch and go through the process, and if you get red lit in the process, then you don't get to do your film and you have to crew up onto another film. So it was a very stressful time because you want to be the film that doesn't, you don't want to be the film that gets red lit. You want to make your film and graduate with a film that you made with the position you wanted, so you can put that on your resume and hopefully get more jobs. So it was a very stressful time and a lot of work put into it. But the team that I was working with at the time was very motivated and hardworking, and we got it done. And I was not the writer on this one either. I was just the director. So it was another experience for me where I didn't write what I was doing, but I was putting my own vision on it. And this one was just kind of the biggest thing at that time that I did, I think, in terms of short films, because we had a lot of days of shooting, more than I was used to for a short film, and not a huge budget, but a big enough budget at the time where I was happy with it, and just really grateful for the opportunity. And there was like a lot of logistics involved, and there was a lot of firsts for me. Like I was shooting with a weapon on set, or like a fake weapon on set, which I never did before. And then a lot of like different locations and cheating locations and a crane that I had for the first time. And it was just a lot of firsts for me because it was my graduating film. And it was also the first thing I did in film school too, where it really had my voice on it. Which was, I'm really into like the dark psychological thrillers and dramas and horror and just dark stuff. And so that really was an opportunity for me. And we worked just really, really hard on it as a team, and wanted it. Our main goal, I remember, was to not have it look like a student film, which I don't know if I pulled it off now. I remember at the time thinking I did, and maybe if I watch it now, I'm like, oh, no, that's totally a student film. I don't know. But I remember at the time all of us were like, it can't look like a student film, and we worked really hard for that. And I think it did well. Like, we did a good festival run with it, which was another thing with that, was it was my first short film or anything that I did a festival run. So it was the first time submitting to film festivals and getting in and getting accepted to film festivals and doing that whole circuit. And so that was a learning curve for me too, and a really cool opportunity and experience. And yeah, I just remember being proud of it at graduation, and my mom and brother flew out to my graduation and saw the film for the first time. And I just remember being proud of that film, and not, cause sometimes you work on stuff that you're not like so proud of, or like it didn't turn out the way you wanted. But that one, I remember at the time being proud of it. So yeah, it was great. And I even have a press play tattoo somewhere on my body for that time period of my life. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so
in that, I'm sorry, were you going to say something else?
No, I was just wrapping up what I was saying. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's like a little bit of an overlap sometimes, and then I can't tell if the person's still talking or not. The same year in 2015, you were an assistant art director for Tori's Isolation. What was that like for you, being an assistant art director?
It was all right. It wasn't. I mean, I was just doing it. My friends were working on the film, and they just kind of needed a hand, so I just kind of helped out a couple days here and there in pre-production and on set. And then I didn't even expect the credit. Like, I was just kind of helping out some friends who are working on it, and it was just one of those situations where I wasn't super involved, but I just kind of was around helping wherever need be, and mostly in the art department. And then somehow got a credit on it, so that was cool. But I don't really have a huge involvement in that one or anything.
Well, you know, any little thing that people do, you know, especially in indie movies, they usually try to give a credit, some kind of a credit.
Right.
I have a friend that got a credit for helping out on a film, and he was given the credit of Bikini Wrangler.
Bikini Wrangler.
Yeah,
what a credit.
It really had nothing to do with what he was doing, but I liked that name and that, you know, whatever, that title, and so I asked him about it, and he told me all about it, that it was like a really weird story, and he told me all about it, and it turned out being funny. But yeah, when you help on, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead. I was.
Oh, all I was going to say, when you help out on indie films, it's really a big deal because when they need a hand, they need a hand.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, a lot of hats people wear on indie film sets and a lot of positions and running around and so anyone on set for indie film is going to be doing lots of stuff and it's really worth having there. So.
Right. Now the next year, cause you've been really busy. The next year you were the director, the producer, and the writer of a short called Teen Titans Say No to the Mask. So tell us what that was all about.
So there was like a cartoon back when I was a really young kid called Teen Titans, and it's a superhero cartoon show, and it has Robin from Batman, and I was just a really big fan of that show growing up and connected with it, and so I was really hoping to, like, I always wanted a live action version of Teen Titans, and so I just was like, I would love to do that myself instead because I haven't seen it, so I guess I'll just make one myself. So it just kind of turned into this, like, at first it was like, oh, I'll just do a short film, live action fan film of Teen Titans. But then I was like, well, what if I wrote a feature and then just turned the feature into like a proof of concept that I can pitch to Warner Brothers. So that's essentially what I did was I just wrote a whole fan film of Teen Titans as a feature. And then I took that and took parts of that from the feature film and put it into what I could afford at the time, which was a short form film version of it. And so I shot, like, I think we shot for like a week and put it all together, and it was a short film of the feature film, and we used it as a proof of concept. And that's as far as I could take it because it's a fan film, so I wasn't allowed to, like, do the festival circuit or anything like that or try to sell it myself because it's not my IP. So but it was a really great experience, and I met a lot of great people and met people that I still work with to this day on that one. And it was just really, really, really fun. I think it was one of the, like, my more fond memories of what I've done, for sure.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, now the next two I'm just going to lump together because from the way you've been talking, I kind of am just assuming that these are probably the same thing as that other one we were talking about. So you were the set director on a short called Mayor, and then you were second assistant camera on a short called Family Fortune. So just briefly tell us about those two experiences.
Very similar situation. It was just a group of friends who were doing things and needed some help, hands on set. So I was there and always willing to help. So I was just on set for a few days for both of those, helping out wherever they needed. And for Family Fortune, I remember my good friend Theo, who was in my film class, did that film. And it was a really cool short film and was fun to work on, and it was an interesting original idea, so it was really cool to watch shoots and watch being made and just be part of that. And I think both of them turned out well, and it was just one of those things again where I was just on set and was helping out where I could and was lucky enough to get credited for it. So
cool. Yeah, every credit you get helps your resume, believe me.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true, yeah.
Okay, well, the next year, and these are some of the same types of thing, I'm sure, but I'm going to lump two together because they're even the same, it's the exact same credit. For minor coordinator, you did that for a short called Shield Maiden, and then for a short called Devia that IMDb says was just completed. So you can briefly go over those two.
I remember Shield Maiden more, so I'll just talk about that one, I think, because I don't want to like give false information about the DVO one, because I remember Shield Maiden more. But Shield Maiden was super cool. It was a good friend of mine who was producing that film, and he had crazy locations and really cool idea, and it was really very like Viking-esque. There's a lot of Vikings and very, very remote work out in the mountains and stuff. So it was a really cool shoot and opportunity, and he just needed someone to be a minor coordinator for the actors there, and because they were working with some kids, and so yeah, I knew how to do it, and so he asked me to do it, and I was like, yeah, no problem, I'll help you out any way I can, and it was worth it just for the experience of working where we were working. It was really nice out, and the location was just really, really cool. We were like in the middle of a mountain and fields and forest, and there was like this huge, huge ditch. Like, just, it was really funny because we were shooting on one side of the ditch, and our gear van and gear truck and crafty and catering and all that fun stuff was on the other side of the ditch. And if you were on set, you could literally see all that, like maybe like 20, 30 feet away, but you'd have to walk like 20 minutes just to get to it because you couldn't go through the ditch because it was way too deep and dangerous. Mm-hmm. So you would have to walk around the whole ditch just to like go get crafty or something. And it was just really funny that we were shooting almost right beside it and then had to take like a huge detour to get around that. That's one of the things I really remember about that set was how funny that was. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I think it was the same year. You were the writer, producer, and director for a short called Compulsion. So let's hear about that one.
So Compulsion was a passion project for me because, just because I'm very open about it, but I have obsessive compulsive disorder, and it's something that I live with every day, and we live in a world where mental illness is really spoken about now, but there's still a stigma towards it, and there's still a lot of unknowns about it. And so I wanted to do a film not only for myself as a filmmaker, but someone who lived with OCD artistic film about it. I was wanting a film like that done for someone like myself who has OCD, but I was also at the point in my career where as a filmmaker I wanted to do something different and new that I haven't done before. So at that time it was a experimental film, which I've never really done. So I felt that an experimental film would be a great opportunity for this film that I've wanted to do for obsessive compulsive disorder. And so that's what I did. I wrote the script and kind of really kind of planned on how to shoot this in a way where it was a visual metaphor to tell people or show people, I guess, visually what it might be like for someone who has OCD. And I didn't want to speak for everybody, and I was just speaking from personal experiences, but I was just hoping that it could be some sort of visual medium out there that people maybe could connect to or relate to, and it would help them in some sort of way or fashion. And it was a really fun shoot. My girlfriend now who we work together all the time on things, as she's a producer. That was the first thing that we worked on together, so that was also really special. And it was something that was therapeutic for me, and also something that I was holding really close to my heart at the time. And it was one of those things where I always feel maybe a little vulnerable when I'm filming something, because I either wrote it or I'm really connected to it because I've been working on it for so long. And this was like a different kind of vulnerability. Like it was talking about my mental illness that I haven't really, maybe at that time, wasn't so open about. But I have found that I have to be more open about it for my sake, and also just for people who aren't open about it to let them know that it's okay to be. It was a great experience. A lot of my close friends worked on that with me, and it was kind of really nice for them to be there to support me during that time and want to make that and tell the story with me, and also gave me an opportunity to do some cool stuff that I've never done before. As a filmmaker, it was a black and white film. There's a lot of visual metaphors in there that are not really on the nose, or are on the nose too. And we did some water shots too, and it was fun. Like, a lot of my stuff is very realistic and realism, and that's the style I like in film, but it gave me the opportunity to kind of go outside my comfort zone in shooting style wise too. So that was it was a really cool film, and it did a festival circuit as well and got some nominations and wins for awards too, even, which was really nice. And I even had a few people reach out who also have OCD and reach out to me and say that the film is a really cool visual for them that they can show people to help them give a sense of what's going on. So I really like that film to this day.
Oh, that sounds like one I'd want to see, because I like films like that. And with ones those are the kinds that you may never know how many people that you helped with that film.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one of those ones that, and it gets brought up a few times since I made the film, which is nice. So I'm glad that you brought it up too. And there was this one time where I was talking to someone, and they're like, "Oh, you made that film Compulsion," and it wasn't even on my radar at the time. I was totally thinking of something else, and I was like, "Wow, like it's crazy that it reaches that kind of those people, and they still want to talk to me about it," which is cool. So.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm glad that you're getting that.
Thank you.
Now,
yeah.
In 2018, you were the producer and the director on a short called Adam. So if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, that was a really fun one. So that one was actually it was inspired by my girlfriend's dad, whose name is Adam. And so at the time we wanted to do something special for him and tell a story, and we wanted to kind of give him a really nice film and show him that he inspired a lot of good people. So he's a really great guy, and so we just wanted to do this for him, and we turned that thought process into the short film Adam. And what Adam is about is it's this perception, this little girl has of her father, who is a superhero, and it's a superhero running around town, fighting crime, flying around, and then in reality, you see that he's just a regular single father who's working a 9-to-5 job in a cubicle, and he's just living his everyday life, and he's not actually a superhero, but it's the perspective of the daughter and how she sees her dad. So, so my girlfriend wrote that one, and she produced it with me, and the people that I kind of work with on everything, we kind of brought them on for that, and it was a fun time. It was very, very simple, very easy shoot, and it wasn't like anything over the top, but it was a really fun time, and everyone involved was really passionate about it, and we gifted it to Adam for his birthday that year, and he loved it and thought it was great, and it was just a really fun one. I remember that being one of the more happy, bubbly films that I've done, which was a nice different experience as well.
Aww, that sounds really sweet. The movie itself sounds sweet.
Yeah, it was
now, before
it was
I get
a
to this,
good approach.
I'm sorry, it was what?
I was just saying it was a good approach. Like it was something good, I think, to do as a filmmaker who always kind of does the dark things and really psychological things. It was nice to kind of venture off to something more happy for once too. So.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to this one that, you know, is recent, I just wanted to ask, because it's mm-hmm. glaringly obvious on IMDb that there's no acting credits. Now, is that something
yeah.
that you don't do by choice, acting?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm not really one to act, I think. I remember being acting in my very first film I ever did, I didn't act in it. And then I remember kind of having a lack of actors available to me, or even friends who weren't comfortable being on camera when I was really young. So I would kind of be the actor in my own films, or kind of be one of the characters, at least in one of my old films. But then I remember even as like super early on, just making the decision, like, I can't, like, if I want to be a professional filmmaker, I can't be in my own movies. And I don't know why, like, that was just my mindset. And so, I mean, I'm not a great actor either. Like, I'm not trying to be an actor, but, yeah, I just don't do it. I leave it to the ones who are really good acting and can do a really great job. I don't want to put a damper on my own film because of my poor acting skills or anything. So, yeah.
One thing that I was going to bring up to you, because I don't know if you've even ever noticed or not, most people don't pay attention to what's on their IMDb lots of times. That's why sometimes I'm even able to surprise people. But
yeah, you're already surprising me today. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you're only 24 years old. And
correct,
you
yeah.
have... Yeah, you have 23 total credits on IMDb. So you're only one credit short of having some kind of credit for every year of your life.
Oh, close.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a cool fact.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was. I looked at that and went, oh, wow.
Yeah, that is cool.
Because when I thought
that's,
you were 20...
That's perspective.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying it kind of puts into perspective how much, how long you've been doing it for, too. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, when I first looked at it, because I thought you were 23, because I didn't know you had had a birthday. And so I thought,
yeah.
Oh, wow, he's 23, and he's got 23 credits. How cool.
Oh, that would have been cool.
But, yeah,
oh, if we just did this interview 2 weeks ago, if we could have. Had a cool fact.
Well, and it's still interesting because all you have to do is get one more credit and you're good.
That's true. Oh. Yeah, I gotta get on it now. I'll do something.
Okay,
I'll just
this...
throw it on there.
Okay, so this one that's recent called Beyond the Woods. You were the producer, the director, and the writer, and we've got like almost 17 minutes, so you can talk as long as you want about, well, not as long as you want. You can talk for up to 17 minutes.
okay. Beyond the Woods is my most recent film, and it's my first debut feature film as well as a filmmaker, so I'm really, really proud of it, and I think we've accomplished a lot with it, my team and I. But to kind of start from the beginning, so about two years ago, I want to say, I was at the point where I was ready to do a feature as a filmmaker. I was like, I've done short films, I've done music videos, I've done the commercials, I've done everything in between. So I'm ready to do the next step as a filmmaker and do a feature film. So right away, I was like, I'm going to write a feature film and I'm going to write it so I can actually shoot it. I don't want to write, like, sit down and write this sci-fi adventure that's going to cost me $5, $10, $20 million to film. So what I did was I sat down and started thinking about films that I really like doing and or watching. And I really love Christopher Nolan and Quentin Tarantino and Ridley Scott and all these amazing directors that do like really realism and also dark films and very not violent films, but gritty films. And so I really was like looking at that as inspiration. And I was like, what can I do, for my style as a filmmaker, but also something that I can realistically afford to do right now in my life. So essentially what I did was I was writing the film, and what I was doing while I was writing the film was I was trying to figure out logistically as a producer, I guess. I had my producing hat on as well as my directing hat while I was writing this film. And so I was trying to write minimalistic locations with minimalistic cast. So I would have the least amount of people possible and not a lot of locations. And I did a lot of daytime exterior locations, so natural lighting also came into play, which would help the budget significantly. The only thing that really kind of bumped up the price for our film was I was very specific that I wanted winter snow exterior in the middle of the woods. And here in Vancouver, we don't really have that. I mean, we do in our backyards, but we don't have to, like, we have to go to, like, towns over. So we had to go about 5 hours north of downtown Vancouver, which kind of was the only really thing that kind of escalated our budget. But that was my process initially, was to write a film that I could actually have, like, once you did a budget breakdown and saw everything, it was a realistic number that three independent producers at the time, we were like, we can realistically do this or go seek it from an investor kind of thing. So yeah, at that point, once I wrote the first couple drafts and had my producing team look at it and do budget breakdowns with them and figure out kind of like a tentative game plan, at that point we went to the American Film Market in California, and we just put together a pitch package and set up all these meetings with companies and really pitched our film to a bunch of people. And crazy enough, on our first day, we were at the producing panel for pitching on our very first day. I think we flew in the night before, and then it was the first morning of the conference of markets. So we went there, and ahead of time they were selecting people to pitch, and you could pitch your film that you were going to pitch to all these different companies throughout the market in that pitching panel, so you could get advice on it. And the people on the panel were big time producers. Like, the producer from all the Sharknado movies were there, and the producer from Drive with Ryan Gosling was there. And they would give advice to these people. And so our pitch didn't get picked to go up on stage to do it, unfortunately. They were just tearing through these pitches. Like, they were just like Simon Cowell on American Idol, tearing through these people, like, so blatantly, like, this garbage isn't going to work. Like, very honest, very, like, constructive, but just tearing through people at some points. And I was, like, really nervous for them. So I was like, oh, maybe it was a good thing we didn't get picked to go up. But then they had, like, a jar of business cards. And so you could put your business card in, and they would randomly select a business card. And so if they selected your card, you could go up and pitch as well. And so oddly enough, they pick the jar and they go to pick the business card, and they see the name, the Nerdy Kid Productions, on either my business card or my producer's business card. And I see them pick it out, and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to pick one of us. Oh my God. I don't know if I can go up there after watching all these people get yelled at, or, like, not yelled at, but, like, pretty brutal stuff. And so I was really nervous. I was like, oh my God, they're either going to call my name or my producer's name. And luckily enough, they called my producer's name, so I could just kind of take a seat back and watch her go up on the stage in front of 600 people and pitch our film, which was a great opportunity. She pitched it. She didn't get slaughtered up there as much as other people did, which was also a good sign. And so it's a great opportunity, because a lot of people heard about our film before we even started the market, essentially, and were coming up to us and giving us their contact information. And so throughout the week, we were just pitching the film and made some contacts and did some follow-ups when we came back to Canada, and found a private investor through there, and got the show on the road and filmed the whole thing 5 hours up north. From British Columbia, and it was a crazy experience. We were shooting in, like, negative 30 degree weather, and it was very, very cold, and the batteries were freezing, and the cameras were freezing, and we had snowmobiles that we were driving from base camp into the middle of nowhere with no radio reception at all, so we couldn't use our radios on set, even with a relay. It was crazy. So yeah, a lot of heaters, a lot of tents, but it was an insane time, and we had enough that we had to kind of have base camps in different spots on different days, and marking where the continuity for a forest is pretty difficult, especially during snow, and then making fake snow to cover footprints was also an interesting experience. Overall, it was just a crazy experience. We had, like, relatively, it was still a small crew compared to what you would see on a normal feature film, because it was still low budget. It's still considered low budget. So I think we had, like, at most, on the biggest day, we had maybe like 40 or 50 people, and that's including everybody. So for me being, I was 22 when we shot that, or 22. And for me being 22 and surrounded by all that and kind of being the director and producer and writer of that, it was overwhelming for some days, but it was still one of the best experiences of my life. And I'm really happy I did it. And the team that I had, couldn't have done it without them. And my cinematographer, Zach, he was one of the reasons we could do the film as well. And he's super talented at what he does, and just made the film look exactly the way I wanted to. And he's someone I work with all the time. He did Teen Titans with me and some other stuff. He did Adam. And he's someone I work with all the time as well. And he also came to the American Film Market with us. And so yeah, the whole team, Nina, who's the producer, just our whole team worked really, really hard to accomplish it. It was really ambitious, even though I did try to write it logistically for a low budget. It still was super ambitious, and the weather definitely put an obstacle in front of us for sure. And it was very, very interesting and very, very cool. We had some fire scenes, which was really cool, and we had some new prosthetics, and we had just the weather itself was a crazy atmosphere to work in. And we had a bunch of picture cars and stunts, even, which for me, the first time I ever did real stunts of someone, like,
wow,
just doing crazy stuff. So it was just a really great, fun experience. It was a really great opportunity for me to be able to go do what I love to do with the people I love doing it with. And so, yeah, we finished the film a couple months. We had a month of filming, and then we were in post-production for 3 months, I think. And then, so really quick turnaround. We finished it pretty quickly. And then we gave ourselves a tight deadline because we wanted to finish it. We didn't want to sit on it or wait for it to be finished. Like, we just wanted to give ourselves a tight deadline to make sure we got it done, and we did. And now it's currently traveling the world with festivals. So it's been really great.
That all sounds really, really cool. Are you a person that goes to conventions, and do you like going to them if you do?
Like Comic-Con and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I love it. I there's one in Toronto called the Toronto Fan Expo, and I was going to that yearly with my brother Griffin for a bit, and then that was kind of our tradition. And it's always in August, so I'm pretty bummed out that I can't go this year because of COVID, unfortunately. But
right.
I look forward to being able to go again someday.
Have you been able to, you know, be a part of it with your stuff, you know, to get, you know, to, like, either sell or just sign autographs or whatever?
Yeah, I thought about that. And there was talks about doing one in Canada, and we were literally talking about that in January or February, and then the whole COVID lockdown happened here, so
right.
Conversation kind of fizzled out. But I would love to. I would love to do one, and I'm a fan of going to these things, so I'd love to be a guest as well if I can, and just
right.
really be part of that would be awesome, so...
Well, and with the Beyond the Woods films, I mean, you didn't mention this, so I'm going to mention it for the listeners. It has won awards. The Directors Cut International Film Festival, it won for the Jury Award for Best Feature Film. And then at the Edmund Festival of Fear International Film Festival, it won the Best Feature Film, Canadian Feature Film. And it also received it nominated for a festival award for Best Director Debut. So congratulations on that, Best Director Debut.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
pretty
you.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah, and then
that.
Also,
so
oh, I'm sorry. Also, it got Indie Suspense Horror Sci-Fi Film Festival. It was the winner of the Festival Award for First Place Feature. And the Los Angeles Crime and Horror Film Festival, it was the Festival Award winner, Best Feature Film. And in Vancouver Badass Film Festival, it was a nominee for the Badass Award for Best Feature Film. So that's a lot of awards for that film. So that alone will get you a spot at a table.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for shouting that out.
Yeah, and I just think it's all really cool, and I think you've done really well, and you should be proud of all of your accomplishments. Now, we've only got like 4 minutes, which actually is kind of a long time, actually. But if you want to tell people how to get a hold of you, what's the best way? Like, say, if they want to work with you or chat with you or hire you, you know, whatever, what is the best way to contact you?
Best way is probably Instagram, or Facebook, both Braden D. Purdy for both of those platforms. I'm always kind of on those, checking my messages and pretty active as much as I can be. So, yeah, I'd say Instagram and Facebook are the best ways to contact me.
Okay. Well, see, we still have a little over 3 minutes. So if there's something that you want to say that's about 3 minutes long or less, of like giving someone encouragement on reaching for their dreams like you've been doing.
Right. I would always just say, if it's film specifically, I would say that, you know, you just you're going to hear people tell you that you can't do it or you shouldn't do it because point A, B, and C, but point B and C and A, it doesn't matter what those points are. It matters what you want to do, and you just really got to go for it and do it. And there's risks in everything you do, and so you might as well do the risks while you're trying to do something that you love to do. And it's worth it. And there's a lot of work and a lot of hesitation sometimes, and doubt and scary sometimes. But at the end of the day, you're pushing for what you want to do and love what you do. So it's really worth it. And things will work out eventually. And you got to surround yourself with great, strong people, build a team, and just never give up. You got to follow your dreams. So just always dream big and never give up.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Well, there's only like 2 minutes left. So I'll ask you if there's anything that you want to say in closing.
Sure. It's been great chatting with you, and thanks for wanting to chat with me and reaching out. And it's been a fun chat of down memory lane and remembering things that people haven't really asked me about in a long time or chatted about or wanted to chat about. So it's been really fun that way, and it's been nice. And I'm looking forward to keeping in touch with you and chatting more, and maybe being back on the show in the future, and just stay in touch.
Aw, well, thank you very much. You have been a delightful guest, very delightful. And it would be nice sometime in the future to have you on the show, and you could even like have your girlfriend say a few words if she wanted to.
Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't care. Yeah, that would even be very, very nice. So there's like a minute, but I don't have to go right to the second. So I'm just going to go ahead and close out the show a little bit early, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure, and stay safe out there.
Okay, the pleasure was all mine, and you stay safe as well, you and your girlfriend, and have a good night.
You too. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.